hopefully everyone's okay with that.
Yes.
All right. Well, let's see. I'll just do a quick intro and then we'll dive into our questions. So, hello, I am Danielle Claire Simpson, Managing Editor of Floor Trends Magazine, and I'm here with Libby from Tarkett. If you can just go ahead and introduce yourself, please, and just let me know a little bit about what you do.
Well, thank you, Danielle. I am Libby Gillen. I work for Tarkett as their VP of A&D and Sustainability. It's a kind of strategic position to really encompass the A&D community as a totality, almost as a segment, like we would approach healthcare or education, but making sure we've got the right product and the right process and accountability for A&D like we would for a segment.
Sure, awesome. Well, what brings us together today is that I see that Tarkett is doing some focus on diversity, inclusion, and I just really wanted to have a conversation about that. It's a very hot topic these days. So what I really liked is the term of just making your world bigger, I believe. So can you
Making our circle bigger.
Making your circle bigger, thank you. Mm-hmm. Please tell me what that means to your company.
Well, I have to say, we kept going back and forth with titles because we're like, you know, we're no longer checking boxes. We're no longer like doing certain things. And what we need to do when we talk about EDI is learn and grow our circle bigger. So it's not just about like, okay, we just checked a box because we have, you know, a diversity leader or whatever. Mm-hmm. And also Tarkett is a global company.
Okay.
So we look at this as a global opportunity. Our headquarters are in Paris. We've got manufacturing all over the world, Asia, in Europe, within the North America, and we have representation in many, many countries. So there is a diversity level at that point, but we still need to grow our circle so we're kind of more empathetic and understanding and aware of other issues. That's what really growing your circle is.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to say this in full disclosure, Tarkett North America, as I said, you know, we're a global company. We do think global. We do act like a global company with a bunch of diversity, but Tarkett North America has kind of been on an island, and it's a company built up by acquisition. So we're coming from different places, and we looked at our company, we're not as diverse as we could be.
Okay.
So in HR realized that a long time ago. I've been with the company 15 years. I've realized that. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do is make this process and understanding as a company kind of, yeah, we have to take baby steps. We can't just jump in and like say, okay, we're going to, again, check all these boxes and we've done it. It definitely is learning and growing. So we've got a lot of things in place, but when it comes to, you know, kind of a diversity level, when it comes to females within the company, we're actually pretty good.
Okay.
But we need to grow our more of our minority grouping.
Okay. And so why the focus now? So you mentioned you've been with the company for 15 years. And I, you know, I guess it's better late than never, but you know, why now?
Well, like I said, they've been working towards this, especially when it comes to women. Our board of directors, our steering committee, as we call it, is 30% women, which I think is great. So sure, we've got representation. And then on the flip side, our sales force is 60% women, which when I started 20 years ago within flooring, that was not the case.
Yeah.
It was totally the good old boys network of a very male dominated industry. And now we're seeing it difference. We're seeing, you know, that especially for the sales force, that sometimes the female touch or a woman approaching a sale is very different than a male. So the importance of why we're looking at diversity in a total right now is definitely what's happened in the last year. It's something that we've been, you know, looking at for a long time. In fact, 2 years ago, well over 2 years ago, Chris Stolpin, who was one of the one of the leaders within our company on the marketing side, he was looking at it and had focus around it for 2020.
Oh, okay.
Our NeoCon messaging was supposed to be that. We had a bunch of stuff happening in 2019 and the world paused. So we didn't get all that messaging out. Mm-hmm. So they started on the CEU in 2019.
Okay.
But then after George Floyd's murder and the disruption and the injustice, it definitely hit me in a very different way. Mm-hmm. And I, with the people in our marketing, took it upon ourselves to get this CEU done and out. That still entailed a lot of research. It still entailed, you know, this kind of ongoing messaging. We're still doing research and adding to it. But there was definitely something was lit, unfortunately, last May, that triggered like, no, we need this now. Even though we'd slowly been working on it, we need this now.
Absolutely. I can completely understand that. And you did mention the CEU, which we will get to at some point in the conversation. But I want to know a little bit more about the need for just equity, diversity, inclusion, just being addressed in the architecture and design industry in general. Why do you think that's so important?
Well, I was a designer.
Okay.
And I worked in the industry for 10 years and I didn't see very many who look like me, but I did work with a lot of people of color, especially in my time in Chicago. But when you look at it now from a business case, and it's definitely an emotional case too and a human case, but when you look at it in a business case, there are so many companies that are doing better. I don't have the percentages in front of me, but they're growing because they have females on their board of directors, because they have people of color within high positions within their company to bring a different perspective.
It's
truly like companies are changing. I think it's one of the trading companies is no longer bringing companies to are no longer investing in companies that don't have diversity on their board.
Okay.
That's how serious, I think it's Goldman Sachs. If you don't have a female, a minority, or difference on your board of director, they won't even look at you to bring you public.
Okay.
Because they know you're going to be better off. You're going to be representing more than just, you know, a panel of white men. There's a business case behind it, but also there's a human case. And I want to say before all this upheaval, but even with the pandemic, we're seeing, you know, more ties to people in a different way. We're being definitely more empathetic. It's really just the right thing to do, but we need to put kind of the business and the strategy behind it. And then, you know what, put some emotional bonding behind it, because I feel that our, you know, next generation is going to be gangbusters over this. They are already looking at it and doing it, and we need to understand and clear the path for our future.
Absolutely. Awesome. So beyond the CEU, which we haven't really touched on yet, how does Tarkett plan to just continue this work that you guys are doing, just of awareness, of increasing, you know, your numbers as far as diversity goes, mm-hmm. and inclusion? And I think you've touched on it briefly in the conversation, but just what's the work that you guys are doing moving forward?
Well, I want to talk internally for a moment, and then I want to talk externally, because we know we need to do better internally. We can't just spout out this message and not be walking the walk.
Mm-hmm.
And our HR has been great. It's actually one of our global pillars is EDI. And we are definitely looking internally. So HR has some programs going on. After George Floyd's murder, we did have a forum, which you've never had this kind of platform, and it was called Black Voices at Tarkett.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Now that we've got Zoom, we are able to touch like over 500 people this conversation. And it was a panel discussion from all different areas within our company. So we've got manufacturing, we've got, you know, corporate, we've got the sales force.
Yeah.
And you know, they were able to talk and tell stories about how they were feeling and what they were doing after the murder. That was eye-opening to so many people within the company. And we've kept that forum about every quarter or every couple times a year. We have discussions on a larger platform.
Okay.
They've also formed employee resource group, an ERG, which I'm involved in. And it's been amazing to kind of get together in a internal platform. Again, our company's very big and very different. So within Target North America, we've got somebody from manufacturing, we've got somebody from sustainability, we've got somebody, a couple people from the sales force, we've got customer service, and you know, a couple people who work like within the plants on this resource group within this to have these discussions. We've talked about microaggressions, we've talked about code switching, which we didn't have a platform to do that before. And you see it in all these different areas within the company.
Yeah.
And then we can bring awareness to it. We can figure out how to have these discussions. So within that, HR has also, our learning and development team, has also conducted some training on microaggressions and unconscious bias, actually. That's the training, which, you know, they started at a management level, but they've really gone through a manufacturing plant to give this training to make sure people are aware. You know, you might say something that you don't think is offensive, but it is. And this is what you cannot do. This is what you should do. And this is how you need to learn more yourself. Like, yeah, we're going to give you some tools, but it's upon yourself to take it to the next level. Okay. So internally, we're doing stuff like that. We actually, we're looking at recruiting differently. Jeff Fenwick, the CEO of Tarket Commercial Group, is a part of our ERG group. So we are inclusive. He's a kind of our leadership role. So he's not in every meeting, so everyone can feel comfortable. and it is people of color, because it is, again, we wanted it diverse. So we've got, you know, Southeast Asian, Black, Latina, Latinx. So it is a somewhat of a diverse group, and we're still adding to it. So, which is a good thing, but we're trying to do it slowly so we don't run before we can walk. So that's some of the stuff we're doing internal, but where we feel the messaging really needs to happen is externally with our architects and designers who are influencing the built environment on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. And we're not preaching to the choir, because there's many architectural firms who have been doing stuff to lead to equity, diversity, and inclusion. But we are taking a moment to talk about it and start a conversation to hopefully, you know, make those aware, make those who are not aware, aware, mm-hmm, to do different, exercises to become aware or have an understanding. The CEU is a great place to start, because it talks about definitions of EDI. It talks about the business case, as I mentioned, and some statistics and data around that. Mm-hmm. But the real crux of it is, like, there are people out there who are doing it. So we talk about personal profiles. Mm-hmm. This is what they're doing. This is why they're doing it. And then we talk about architectural firms who are doing projects geared toward that, whether they're pro bono or whether they are actual projects, but they're looking at it from a different perspective of, this is how we got through this project for LGBTQ youth in Phoenix.
Okay.
We had, you know, a group come together, but it really was the youth who are part of our design team to really express what they needed and how they needed, how they wanted to use the space. So, I just have to say this, when I say diversity, it's not just an ethnic diversity.
Sure,
it's
sure.
Neurodiversity, it's ability, mm-hmm, it's religion, origin of country, mm-hmm, and gender, you know, gender, and it's LGBTQ+. I mean, it is holistic. Yeah, it's not, yeah, you know, just a black white thing or, you know.
Yeah, which I think is what people often think of when they think of, you know, diversity, but it's so much more than just black, white, so.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But it's been good having these conversations with the design community, because some people are already, like I said, already doing stuff. Perkins and Will has had a diversity leader for years, and she is Gabrielle Bullock. She is a powerhouse.
Okay.
And so we take some of her messaging, and actually we have it in the CEU, because, you know, we're new to it. Again, we're starting the conversation. But we want to show that there is a reason, there's a business case to do this, and your projects are going to be better if you look at your projects and who's within your staff, who's across the table when you actually are presenting your design ideals, and how they're implemented. I mean, we're even talking about working with more minority-owned businesses and installers to help with diversity needs, whether it be a government contract or a regular everyday project. We want to make sure there's awareness that these other female-owned, minority-owned businesses are out there and fully capable.
Awesome. Okay. Well, just tell me about the CEU, and then also just how it's going beyond race and ethnicity. So I think that you probably just touched on that, you know, but if there's anything else that you haven't shared.
Well, again, I want to say the biggest thing about the CEU is to start the conversation and have people have an awareness, to present an awareness. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, what I said before, whether it's a microaggression, some people don't even realize that they're offending people. Mm-hmm. Whether it's an empathy, you know, you may know somebody who's got ADHD, which is neurodiversity. And there are a lot of people who are not diagnosed neurodiverse. I know in my generation that absolutely could have been on the spectrum, but we don't look, you know, they've already matriculated into a regular process, which is great, because neurodiversity, they can do that. There's definitely different areas, and it's usually a more creative spectrum. Mm-hmm. Long and short, we have to design spaces to be inclusive for all these types of people.
Right.
So, you know, we're setting up some awareness to start. We also want to, we talk about after the CEU, after the portion, we want to be able to continue the discussion. Mm-hmm. And if people want to learn on their own, we have reading lists. If people want to, we actually have tests. I'm trying to think of the name of the test. It's something through Harvard that we've done that we can get. We can send you the link. You can do it, and you can find out where you fall. I'll look for that, or I'll send that to you when I remember.
Okay.
But it's a great kind of perspective on where you fall on maybe an unconscious bias. That's really what it's about. Mm-hmm. So to start the conversations, get the awareness, have people learn more if they want to, and then continue. We're doing, you know, different roundtables where we'll do the CEU, we'll have a discussion around it, and then we'll see where it leads. And if we have to continue discussions, we will. And we're doing it city by city. And then we're also working with IIDA to do it on a larger platform.
Okay. And what's the response been to it? Have you had a lot of participants? What's the feedback you're getting?
Yeah, you know what? We've had more discussions than we've launched the CEU a little bit ago, but I'm going to say due to COVID and Zoom fatigue, I haven't done it that much.
Okay.
I've done it definitely 5 times, and it's been really good response.
Okay.
We're not just doing it for architects and designers. We actually did it for CBRE, an internal project management and design group.
Okay.
Because again, and it was in Seattle, you know, but they wanted the awareness. It was important to one of their leaders to at least start the discussion. It was really well received because people had, it wasn't that they just had questions for me. They had questions for each other. Mm-hmm. You know, they wanted to know, oh my gosh, have you ever felt this way?
Sure.
Oh, I wasn't aware. Maybe I need to be doing something differently to approach you or a coworker or a client.
Yeah, absolutely. And that kind of takes me into what I was going to ask you next. As an instructor, you know, what have some concerns been that you've heard from your participants, some reoccurring points, or just what have they, what challenges have you heard that people have experienced based on the feedback?
Probably one of the things that was really disheartening is when people don't look inside themselves. They can see the problem. Oh yeah, I see a problem over there. Mm-hmm. But when they don't see that they may be part of the problem.
Okay.
And I've seen that a couple of times after giving the presentation because they want to put it all out there.
Yeah.
And it's not, I've found that I have unconscious biases that I never knew I did. And it's, you know, it's kind of funny to learn about yourself, you know, at this age, but it's ongoing.
We all obviously. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when people don't take a moment to pause and think about, okay, what am I doing? Am I creating a microaggression? Am I doing something wrong? Did I say the wrong thing and I wasn't aware? Maybe I need to rethink how I approach, whether it be a person of color, Latinx, LGBTQ, a female, you know, if you're a male, you approach a female or vice versa. Mm-hmm. So that's been the hard part. Having the ongoing discussions just fuels me because I learn every day. Mm-hmm. Having the discussions with young people is amazing. I have an 18-year-old daughter and she's ready to take on the world. And during COVID, we've had some heated discussions at our dining room table because she is so aware. Yeah. And yes, some of it, too much of it probably comes from social media. And, you know, so it's good to have the discussion so we can flesh out, like, are you sure that's true? Do you need to do more research?
Right. Yeah.
Part of it is just she is aware and she is affirmed and she's about to go to college and she's going to set the world on fire. And I feel very confident with our next generation, next couple generations.
Yeah, we're in good hands.
Well, I'm sorry?
We're in good hands. I
think. Yeah, I do. I do feel that. So it's twofold. I've had some, you know, sorrow, but at least there is a sense of awareness. It might not be self-awareness. That's and then just continuing the discussion with some of these young people who are like, they don't have all the answers, but they're gonna take numbers.
They're fired up. They're ready to
they are fired up, yes.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I don't know if there's anything else on the topic that you wanna share that I haven't, you know, touched on. I think that really covers a lot. I think that, you know, you brought up a great point about just recent times feeling fueled to address these topics. And I think it was a similar case for myself. And so I really wanted to just kind of address diversity in the flooring industry and, you know, the A&D industry. And so that's kind of what has led to, I don't know if I want to call it a series, but just a focus on diversity. And so when I saw the CEU come up in my inbox, I'm like, this is perfect. I'd love to see, you know, I'd love to hear more. So I'm definitely trying to help facilitate the conversation and just bring awareness. So thank you so much.
There is one other point, because to be diversity and inclusion is one thing. Mm-hmm. Equity is a whole different level and much harder to get to. And that's kind of personally, and I think the company Tarkett as well, one of the big goals, because we don't want to just get somewhere and not have justice and equity. We're just taking on equity right now. Justice is another level. and it probably will go, there's another level before that we haven't quite seen yet, but we are doing things within our company to promote equity. We are working with, like I said, minority-owned businesses to help with installations. We are working with a young Black designer right now on a collection of product. She's also a professor. She's young. She's a professor at SCAD. She's, you know, a designer at a firm in Atlanta. She's amazing. And we're like, okay, we want to take your perspective. And she's also from Barbados. So she's got this ethnic perspective on top of all her characteristics that are lending to some designs that she's doing for Tarkett. So I believe that is equity. We're also working with HOK, who have been working in the neurodiverse field for a long time. They've been speaking to it. And we're learning from them. We're doing a whole program on where our products fall on the neurodiverse scale and how it can lead or support hyper or hypo sensitivities within the office or within education or airports or retail. So they're helping us kind of define where our product platforms fall. And that's going to be a big discussion at NeoCon. And then just being involved outside of the company with groups like NOMA, National Organization of Minority Architects.
Okay.
There's a group in DC called WIELD. They're part of AIA, but it's a young leadership committee that's looking at diversity and injustice and different ways. We're supporting them. We're doing these roundtables, but again, the biggest thing for me is to get to equity. I think we can be aware, we know what diversity is, we can be more inclusive, we can be more, hire and recruit differently than we have ever before. But if we don't have an even playing field, salaries, benefits for all within your company, like if you don't have that same playing field, or it's not just having the same playing field. Equity is having the tools you need to succeed. And they may be different, very different from someone sitting next to you.
Right.
So we need to make sure that we can help support that if they need a few more extra tools in their toolbox, that they get that so they can succeed in the same way.
Sure. Yeah. Awesome. So kind of setting them up for success, setting everyone up for success.
Right. Setting everyone up for success.
Yeah. And that's not a one size fits all, which is, that's important.
And if they're not willing to use everything in their toolbox, then,
that's not your problem. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much. You know, I think that you guys have a lot of great things in motion. And so I would love it if you were able to just kind of keep us posted or, just occasional emails, or I'll check in with you. But I think you guys have some great things going. So
thank you.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And then Ryan, I thank you so much for your time too.
Yes. Thanks for being accommodating and rescheduling. I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah. From thank last you. Week. I had my, it was my second dose of.
That was my case too. But I was fine. Luckily, I was fine.
Really?
I told Ryan, I'm a little worried because I had it Thursday midday.
Okay. And I was Wednesday evening. And then I was out Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Wow.
So I am.
Which vaccine did you take, if you don't mind my asking?
I don't. Moderna. So.
And I had Pfizer.
Is it Moderna or Moderna?
Moderna. Okay, see, wait. I've heard that. I had a dentist appointment yesterday, and the dental tech that I was working with said that they all took the Moderna in her office, and they all were down after the second dose.
Yeah.
And but the folks that I've heard that have had Pfizer have been okay.
Okay.
So interesting. And that's the one I've got my second dose coming up on May the 12th of Pfizer. And I was expecting potentially to feel a little under the weather after the first dose that I took, and I was fine.
Yeah.
So I we'll see. Well, I guess I'm gonna.
That it's the same case for your second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Libby, which one did you say you had?
I had Pfizer.
Okay.
But it did take my husband down for a day. Okay. But my daughter and I, the three of us, got. She's 18, as I said. We all got ours. And she and I were fine. I was maybe a little fuzzy Saturday morning,
sure,
but nothing, you know, I still continued my day. I didn't have a fever. He had a slight fever.
Good. Yeah. I was fine first one. And then, you know, the second one just, it really got me. So I'm just glad it's behind me.
Yes.
So it's done. Yes. But yeah, I do thank you guys for being willing to reschedule. So
no problem. Danielle, I'm sorry. Where are you based?
I'm in Michigan. So I'm okay. In Detroit.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm coming up there for the NOMA conference October.
Okay. Well, if you think about me, if you got some time, I'd love to do lunch or something. I'm right downtown. So are you coming to Detroit?
Yep.
Oh, yep. Good. And I'm guessing you'll be downtown.
Yep. Okay. I don't know the exact details right now, but it's planned on being in person, and it's their 50th celebration. So your city will be descended on by Black architects.
Oh, nice. Good. So the city will be busy. Good to know.
Yes.
All right. Well, yeah, if you've got some time for a cocktail or lunch or something, just let me know. I'm sure you'll be busy, but I'm in the area.
All right.
All right. Awesome. So you guys have a great day, and thank you so much for your time again.
Ryan, thanks for your help setting this up.
Oh, no problem. And Danielle, if you find that you need any imagery or have follow-up questions, just shoot me an email and I'll help get you what you need.
Well, yeah, if you do have some imagery, that'd be great. I mean, I was probably just going to go with some diverse looking stock images, but if you've got something better than that, then send it my way.
I'll see what we can come up with.
All right, thank you so much, guys.
All right,
all right, take care.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.